Well, the Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook, and go to warriors.com for the full schedule. Hi, Tim Roy for Warrior Sound, and we're going to turn the clock back and go back to a game from December the 3rd, 2013, the Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. And to help us break it down, Eric Smith, longtime voice of the Raptors. He works on both the radio and the TV side. He joins us. And, Eric, let's get the first question out of the way. How are you and yours during this pandemic? We hope everybody is safe.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Tim. Everybody's doing well, knock on wood. The family is safe and healthy. And I think probably like you and many of your listeners and viewers, I'm sure we've all know at least one person, if not many people, that have been unfortunately either infected or, even worse, potentially passed away. I know a handful of people, but for the most part, my closest friends and family have been able to stay safe. And I'm sure things are a little bit different, both pro and con, on my sort of side of the border versus your side of the border. Again, both pro and con, but we're all getting through this together. We're all kind of one family within the world, a global family, and let alone you and I in the NBA family. And fingers crossed that we get to be actually talking about some real games, assuming it's safe, assuming it's proper to do so. We get a chance to talk about some real games sooner than later.
That would be great. Let's go back to this game. And the Warriors had a nice little burst in 2012-2013. They get to their first playoff series since the We Believe team. They beat Denver. They put a little scare into San Antonio. And now it's the following year. And so we who covered the Warriors had an inkling. This is a team on the rise. It's a pretty good team. But from another team's perspective, what did you believe about the Warriors back then?
I think we all got a sense that this team was certainly building towards something. Not to kind of steal your own words, but it was, when you look at the just the roster on paper alone, let alone then the stepping stones that were put in place the previous year and just the rise of the team overall, I think that you got the sense that there was certainly something special potentially brewing. Now, did we all think or assume that it would explode the way that it did for the Warriors so relatively quickly? And all of the championships, let alone championship appearances, I don't know if I could sit here and say that I foresaw that I foresaw one of the great dynasties in NBA history suddenly forming. But I thought that they were going to be a very good team, an extremely entertaining team, and a team that would be one of those clubs that, especially for us East Coast folks, that we'd be watching regularly on the late night games, because there's reason to tune in. This is an exciting, high potent offense. A lot of energy and charisma and character on the floor with the personalities that they have. And it's a team that, to me, from the outside looking in as a fan, you kind of either love or hate. There's no middle ground. You either love that charisma and that attitude and that swagger on the floor. You love that high-octane offense and the sort of bravado that the team played with. Or you absolutely despise them because, they were, that's not the way that my dad showed me how to play the game, or that's not the way that I wanted to see my NBA player. And I'm of the school that I loved it. I loved watching. I was entertained by it. To me, at the end of the day, we're sports, Tim, but we're also sports entertainment, and I love to see the personality stepping forward. And it was great to see that the initial stages in that year, how it really kind of ballooned into, like I said, such a big thing, into such a growing dynasty for the Warriors and for the folks in San Francisco and Oakland.
And in this game, the Raptors got off to a great start. They led 36-19 at the end of one. They led by 27 in the third quarter, and then this incredible comeback started for the Warriors. And I think this was one of the first games, Eric, where I realized that the Warriors weren't just a pretty good team. They had a chance to be special because of the firepower combined with the defense. I hate to bring up a bad memory, but what do you remember about that game?
What ultimately stands out, there's a couple things, and I went back and I actually watched some of the highlights, because we're talking, obviously 7 years ago, and I watched some of the highlights just on the little two-minute recap a couple weeks ago, when we had mentioned that we might do this interview. And the one play, I think, that sort of stood out more than anything for me, and I'm talking obviously from a Raptors perspective, was in the third quarter when I believe Toronto was up by 27 points, and DeRozan comes into the lane, spins past three defenders, and finishes with a left hand off glass. And I remember in the moment in that game thinking, all right, this is it. Like, that's that the game's over. And to see then the way that the Warriors were able to shave it to 18 by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, to me it was in the bag. And as much as the Raptors had sort of come out of the gate, struggling obviously a little bit to start the season, I think they were 6-10 going into that ball game. This to me was kind of a signature moment for them early in the season on the road in a place where they had lost 8-9 straight ball games, I believe, in that building and just had not had a lot of success in Golden State over the years. And to be up at that point and to see DeRozan kind of doing what he did, I thought, all right, it's done. And what made it to me even more interesting, Tim, was in that fourth quarter as Golden State's making the comeback, the Raptors didn't just lay down. They were punching back, and it was still a nip-and-tuck game, which made that even more entertaining. Because I think you would acknowledge, so many times we see blowouts or big comebacks, and the team that makes the comeback, just the momentum's too much for the other squad. The club that gave up the lead, they just fold because they realize they're done. To the Raptors' credit, they kept punching, and I think the final score isn't necessarily as indicative of how close the game truly still was up until about the final 45 to 60 seconds. I think it was Harrison Barnes that really kind of put the dagger in with about 45, 50 seconds left in the game with a three ball that really put it out of reach. But I gave Toronto credit for kind of staying in it in spite of the emotion that must have been in them and the anger and the frustration of the letdown of blowing such a massive lead.
Yeah, they were still, the Raptors were up 8 with at the halfway point of the quarter. And then you're right,
yeah.
DeRozan comes back and gets to the bucket, ties the game at 101. Lowry gets to the free throw line, kept it within distance, and then you're right, that Barnes three with 47 seconds to go made it a 6-point lead. And when Novak missed a long jumper, Curry got fouled, and that was it. You know, because you're right, because many times when you blow a big lead, once the other team gets the lead, you can see the shoulders shrug a little bit and the team that's blowing the big lead kind of gives up at that point. But the Raptors didn't do that. They very easily could have won this game.
Very easily could have. And like I say, if not for that Barnes shot going down, who knows? You grab the rebound, you come down the floor, you hit a three yourself, we're talking tied, let alone a two, you pull within one, and we're back and forth in the final minute and probably playing it out of the free throw line. It was a hell of a game. And listen, you know, if you're a Raptor fan, again, you clearly hate the results the way it turned out. But it to me was one of those games where even as a broadcaster, it's hard sometimes. I don't know about you, Tim. I don't want to speak for you, but I know for me, as much as, we talk about, on to the next game and it's just one of 82. That to me was one where I felt fatigued leaving.
Yes.
Absolutely. I felt down walking to the bus and going to play, like, really? The team just blew a 27-point lead? Like, those are those games where even, as I say, as a fan, as a broadcaster, you feel those games, and you can only imagine what it's like for how the players are feeling.
Absolutely. Klay Thompson hit four threes in that fourth quarter. It was a 42-15 fourth quarter and just one of the most incredible comebacks. And as you mentioned, it wasn't just the Warriors steamrolling there coming down the stretch. Raptors coming back into it. And a final question, and it was about the game was at Oracle Arena, and as an announcer, I always told people I was lucky, even when the Warriors weren't very good, because that building always had energy.
You know what? I promise your audience that I'm being 1,000% truthful in saying this. I'm not just building this up, folks, to kind of make me or make Tim sound good on a Warriors show right here. I have said for years, that if Golden State and its fan base and Oracle Arena specifically, if it's not number one in the league, then it's easily in the top three. And I still think, in my point of view, it's number one in terms of noise, crowd interaction, whatever, however you want to describe it. That place, probably the low ceiling, the older building, let alone just the rabid passion for the fans, it is an extremely difficult place to play in. I believe Toronto is probably somewhere in that top three, top five in terms of its fan base, Tim. I don't know if it probably would weigh in as well. I think Utah, Oklahoma City at the height of their, great years over the last, 10 years, all the good seasons they've had. I would put them up there in terms of noise. And the folks, I'm being clear too, not canned noise, not pumping in the sound, just pure, original from the source, from the fans noise. And I've been there not only for just Raptor games, but I've covered two or three three of the finals, you know, with Golden State, Cleveland, and whatnot as well. So I've sensed it and experienced it even as sort of an impartial outsider, not just broadcasting Raptor games. So that place, as beautiful as the new arena is in San Francisco, as great as it is, and I'm lucky that we had a chance to visit it before the, you know, before the lockdown here, before the pandemic. It's going to take a while, I think, to sort of replicate and recreate what was so good in Oakland at Oracle for so many years.
Eric Smith, thank you so much for your time, and please stay safe.
You too, Tim. Thanks so much.
My thanks to Eric Smith of the Raptors. I'm Tim Roy, and the Warriors are re-airing classic games, showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Now through June 5th, we're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. It's live on Facebook. Go to warriors.com for the full schedule. I'm Tim Roy, and this is Warrior Sound.